Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. There is a particular author that wrote this book. It's called Has the Western World Lost God? Has the Western World Lost God? And her name is Mary Epstad, I believe it is, Epperstad. And she makes a real, real good point here, and I want to talk about it. But first, just listen up to the segment.
How did the Western world lose God? Author Mary Epperstad takes a fresh look at the question in her book, How the West Really Lost God, and she joins us now. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Charlene.
Now, you say it's the collapse of the family that led to a decline in Christianity in the West. Is that right?
The conventional storyline is that once people became more educated, more enlightened, more rational, they wouldn't need God anymore, and that Christianity would just go the way of the dinosaur. This is what a lot of sophisticated people have believed. This is the storyline handed down by the Enlightenment, and most recently by the new atheists. But the fact is, this story doesn't hold up for a lot of reasons. So if the conventional storyline about Christianity's decline doesn't work, what does? That's where the book comes in. What I try to do is isolate the times when Christianity has been strong, the times when it's been vibrant. And when it is, you always see the same thing. Strong families make strong churches. Weak families make weak churches. And given the fractured family world we live in, we should expect to see religious decline. But this is very different from the conventional storyline, which says that this decline is inevitable. It's not.
Definitely. Well, you just mentioned about family. You also talk in the book how closely intertwined faith and family are. Why is that so?
We're talking about a religion that begins with the birth of a baby, and it goes on to have a holy family who are main characters in this story. So the family as an idea saturates Christianity. Why does this matter? Well, it matters now because when we live in a world where a lot of people don't live in natural families, when they live in fractured families or atomized households of one, that story makes less sense. The fracturing of the family ends up fracturing the churches too.
Definitely. Now, Mary, why should the secular-minded or the agnostic be concerned with the collapse of the faith and family?
Because what religious believers are doing in the public square benefits everybody, Charlene, and there's a lot of secular social science on this that I cite in the book. If you are a religious believer, you are more likely to contribute to charity, you're more likely to donate your time, you're even more likely to donate blood than if you are secular. And I'm not saying that to knock the secular folks. This is all well-established social science. Conversely, if you take a society like France, very secular, there's very little charitable giving. So it turns out that if you have a creed that tells you to take care of the poor and the sick and the old, you are a little more likely to do that. So that's just one example of how religious believers contribute to society. They also contribute in another way. They make it less likely that the substitute family, known as the modern welfare state, has to come in and pick up the pieces. Strong families benefit everybody in society, not only those who believe. So those are two examples of why everybody has a dog in this fight, whether they want to or not. And I think it's really short-sighted of the new atheists and the aggressively secular people to be beating up on Christians in the public square for this reason, because what they're doing benefits everybody.
Definitely. What would you say are the solutions to all these problems?
Well, I think it helps to understand the nature of the problem. I think it might help, for example, pastors and other people concerned with the churches to understand that they need to look in those pews and figure out how to help young families, families that are struggling, with very grassroots sorts of things like meal drop-offs and carpools and all the things that make it a little easier to have a family in this world that is increasingly hostile to families. So that's one thing. But looking at the bigger picture, I think the scenario out there is optimistic because I think that the modern welfare state, which again has been bankrolling the fractured family for decades now, is going to turn out to be unsustainable. When the time comes that the welfare state is reined in or that there is a major rethinking of what it really reasonably can do, I think what will happen is what always happens in times of adversity. People will look more immediately around them. They will look to home. They will look to church. Adversity drives people to church. We saw this right after 9/11. And when the welfare state and its illusions of being able to provide what the natural family can provide is reconsidered, I think you'll see a reconsideration of family and faith as well, and possibly the seeds of a religious revival.
Excellent. Very good information. Mary Eberstadt, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Charlene.
That's so exciting because we're coming to the end of this thing. It looks like things are coming to a head where we're not going to be able to continue to sustain such dysfunction. We're not be able to afford. It's like, well, you know, you owe me that. It's like, well, even if I felt I did, if I can't do it, I can't do it. So all of a sudden now you're going to have to begin to come accountable to God and what you're doing. And so where we're seeing this thing reboot, as we were saying earlier in the program, is even in this, because the question she's asking were the book, has the Western world lost God? That's so important. Right. And I love the fact how, you know, I think it's 70-75% of all Americans surveyed said that the biggest issue with America is the absence of the Father.
Yeah.
But you got to study all of that. You can't just say, you know, that mean old man is like, well, you know, he could be mean, he could be dysfunctional, but he also could have been functional, but society didn't support his role there. Or your mother didn't support his role there. And there's a whole bunch of factors that come into the context of that. And yes, you know, he could be wrong. Things could happen. It could be dysfunctional or whatever like that. But absent is absent, whether you're pushed out or seduced out, you know, whatever it is. Still, America says that 70%+ of the issue facing America is the absence of the Father, which is really interesting. We're going to get a chance to go back to the 60s. And look what began then, which is the fruit of what we're seeing today. And we're going to have actual people who were, you'll see today in their older lives, were in their younger lives, marching on the streets of America, declaring that men weren't that important, that husbands were optional, that if I'm going to stay married, he's going to sign a contract, he's going to do his fair share. Mm-hmm. And, I have the right over my body. I'll take his child if I want to and abort it if I want to. And all these things begin to happen in the 60s and the early 70s. And now today they're blaming society's saying the issue is the absence of the Father. But if you'll go back and what you'll hear when we begin to talk about this, when we do get to it, there's so many things going on that you'll say, oh my goodness, there was a strategy to destroy the family. There was a strategy to destroy marriage. And here we are today, where they're at the same time where they're saying the issue with the family today is the absence of the Father, the issue with America is the absence of the Father, at the same time we're saying that they're optional. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's, you got to pick your side of the fight here. You can't be on both sides of it. You got to say either God's created the Father and the Father's role is a good, positive, God-created thing, seeing that he is one, God is a Father. Or you can say, well, they're optional, you don't need them, and that you're the blame. It's your fault.
Right.
You know, I was like, oh, I don't want to take the fault, but I definitely want to take the leadership in this thing. It's like, fathers are so significant that God even called them one. Fathers are so significant that the last thing said in the old covenant was Malachi. Prophetically said, it was Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. He says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that I will send Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. All of a sudden, here comes Jesus on the scene, and he has already walked out his life, born of Mary, lived a sinless life, about to start his ministry, and all of a sudden, someone comes in the spirit of Elijah. His name is John the Baptist, and he begins to prophesy, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. He says, behold, the one that's going to turn into the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Listen. They're so significant that everything that you can imagine is trying to attack the Father's role. And Dr. Dobson, and you can find out more about this, and hopefully it's related, not related to the article below if you're listening on the Off the Torch or on the app, is that Dr. Dobson, who understands family, wrote the book Fatherless. It's entitled Fatherless, and it's the first part that leads to Godless. The last part of the series is Godless. And it's amazing, and it ends with, the whole book is about all this, what things have gotten to, the point they've gotten to, which is life itself is invaluable, and it's optional, and it ends with understanding that the father's role was so significant, the reason why society fell apart, the reason why things are not working right, the reason why we ended up the way we are is because the father's absence in the family. It's called Fatherless by Dr. James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.